Americans care about their health. Americans pay lots of money in hopes of maintaining their health. So why are Americans so unhealthy in this age of a pandemic? According to our next guest, the reason is simple. As a country, the United States overinvests in medical care at the expense of the social, economic, and cultural forces that produce health. In the new book, Pained, co-author and physician Michael Stein pushes the conversation toward matters of class, money, and culture. He does so through more than 50 essays and data illustrations. Dr. Michael Stein is professor and chair of health law, policy, and management of the School of Public Health at Boston University. He is a primary care doctor and has been a leader in general medicine and substance use research and policy for decades. I spoke to him about the book, in which he says he wants to make the case for reframing our political discourse in less myopic and more effectual terms.
Every time we have one of these epidemics, and even prior to this one, we understand that there are certain topics that open up to us that allow us to speak about things that are uncomfortable to us. And there are many questions about money and inequality and power and death that are health topics, and public health should be speaking about them.
Before we talk a little bit about the pandemic, so when you, in the book, you're casting a light on basically how all this happens, I'm curious as to the structure of how we look at what it is of the structural components of our life that ultimately determine who gets the health care in this country.
Yeah, I think that ultimately, when you think about the health of populations, you inevitably end up thinking about what you need to create the conditions that actually generate health. And creating those conditions, I believe, requires tackling the structural forces that create good health and that create poor health. And that means dealing with things that happen before you come to the medical system. And those are parts of the conditions of your life, like your housing and your income and your gender and pollution. And these are all difficult topics because they are the fundamental causes of health, and they exist and have existed in our structured societies over a long time. And there are vested interests in maintaining these. But these are the forces that generate health, we believe. And with a lens on health equity, I think once you get into these topics, they're inevitably uncomfortable.
The subtitle of the book, Being Uncomfortable: Conversations About the Public's Health. Do we ever get it right or better than we are now?
Yeah, I think that we make dramatic changes from time to time. I think we do in cities, and we do in states, and we do in countries. If you believe, as I do, that poverty is one of the clearest associations with bad health everywhere in the world, and particularly in the United States, the question is, where does that poverty come from, and how much inequality does it create? And when you look at certain societies over history, you see that there can be dramatic changes. Sweden was a very unequal country in the beginning of the 20th century, and due to large social mobilizations, it changed, and it became now one of the healthiest countries. And the same with the United States after the Great Depression. We instituted a different tax structure, we reduced inequality, and the population was healthier because of that. So there are these moments in time where we can make large national or structural changes, and of course, there are lots of programs that work as well at the smaller local level.
When you talk about those programs that do work, what do we learn enough from them to extrapolate and to further them so that more good can be done?
Yeah, I think it depends on what the program is. So what I'm particularly interested in are these programs that are prevention related. And they can be things like reducing hip fractures in the community or increasing vaccination rates in the community. And those are things that if you were a business person, you would say, well, what's the return on investment on on investing in these preventive programs? And the answer is that it is dramatic, that you get $14 back on average for the best of our preventive programs. And that's a terrific investment, and we should be doing those that work both at the local level and at the larger level. It could be anything from putting in speed cameras on roads to increasing seatbelt use to fluoridation, all of the old ones that have been proven again and again in public health, and then new ones. So I believe very strongly that if we actually look at the evidence, that prevention really is undervalued in our country. And there are lots of reasons why, I think.
So let's explore some of those reasons, because, I mean, it makes the most sense, and yet it's the one that people, because it's something that people have to do in the forefront, that perhaps it gets pushed aside.
Yeah, I think that we are an extremely healthcare-heavy country. Our metaphor in the book is really sort of thinking about health in terms of soccer. If you think about soccer, there are 11 players on a team, and 10 of them are out in the field, and one of them is the goalie. And we think of the goalie as the doctor or the healthcare system. And by the time that the opposing team has reached the goalie, we're in trouble, right? Even though we want a terrific goalie, we want a terrific doctor in the net, we'd rather not have the team even take a shot on goal. And the other 10 players on the field we think of as prevention, to keep away from the goalie. And so we should be supporting that. And we don't support it because prevention, as we always say, is invisible, right? It's a prediction about the future. It's things that you avoid happening in the future. And that's hard to see. We don't notice it. We don't notice the fact that we didn't have measles due to a good measles vaccine until we had an outbreak of measles. So these are things that we don't think about necessarily because they're happening in the background. We don't think about restaurant inspections and food safety until there's an E. coli outbreak. So again, we need to pay attention. We need to invest in these things. And the larger issues around housing and income are even trickier, right, because they really require very elaborate and nuanced conversations, and we're not so good about that. And then finally, I'd say that the question is, in America, who makes money when we do anything related to health? And prevention, who makes money? It's not the same as selling a surgery or selling a diet pill. It's really about saving money. So it's not about making money, it's about saving money. And that's a bit contrary to our market economy.
So what do we do as far as having those conversations and making those conversations productive and fruitful?
Well, I think, you know, our feeling in writing this book, which is, as you know, arranged as sort of 50 small essays. We think of them sometimes as hors d'oeuvres for the beginning of a meal, sort of a conversation starter. And if you're not in the mood for a food metaphor, I think of the essays as sort of visiting new neighborhoods where you can go and look at the houses that you've never seen before and think about them and then walk away. And so we believe really in conversation, that given enough information and given the chance to talk things over with peers and given the permission to read short essays that don't take you very long and give you a starting point, I think that everybody, non-scientists, non-doctors, they're absolutely capable of understanding complex health issues and making meaningful choices about them. And so I think that's what we need to do. We need to have small scale with a friend, with a neighbor, with somebody who's not a friend, with a colleague. We need to have some informed debate about some of these big public health issues. It's important for us to have informed opinion about them, and I think we can, and that's what the book is meant to do, is to sort of make people get started on having some of these conversations.
I realized as I was forming this question in my mind that it could come off as flip, which I certainly don't mean it to be as. But if you can't have these conversations during a pandemic, like, when do you, right? I mean, this sort of gives us a perfect time to be discussing this stuff, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're absolutely right, Joe. I think that you know, people keep asking me, well, is there some silver lining to this pandemic? And I think there are a couple of silver linings, perhaps, in a terrible time. One is that it allows us, and COVID has really done this, it's really exposed some cracks in the way we think about health and the way we deliver health and the way we keep people healthy. And it allows us to have this moment where we think about these foundational conditions that create health and the way we live. I think that's one silver lining. I think the other silver lining is, of course, that you know, we realize that compassion really has to be at the heart of health. And a world that doesn't elevate respect and justice and equity is never going to be a healthy world, because as we've seen from COVID, we're all in this together. We don't know who might be infected, who can transmit to us. We don't like anybody being infected, but we mix together on buses and subways and supermarkets, and we don't know the intimate details of those people's lives, but we do know that they could be infectious, and we should now therefore hope that nobody is infectious. And to get to nobody being infectious, we need to sort of make sure that we equally distribute our attention to those who might need it particularly.
Dr. Michael Stein is professor and chair of health law, policy, and management of the School of Public Health at Boston University. The new book is Pained, Uncomfortable Conversations About the Public's Health. Dr. Stein, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you on our program.
Thanks so much for speaking.
Again, the name of the book, Pained, Uncomfortable Conversations About the Public's Health. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.